And just to build on what my colleagues were sharing earlier today about, you know, the connected world of APIs, which was a keynote, and then the other talks on Office 365. One common theme that you can see across all of that is there's some component of data that's a part of what was shared earlier. And you're gonna see a lot more of that in the next three presentations that we have focused on OData. A lot of the offerings that Office has at the foundation, there's OData. So I hope you enjoy this talk. This talk there's a lot to cover, so I'm not even sure I'll be able to cover everything that I have here, but the main goal here is to provide everyone with an overview of what we have as a data platform. Okay, so what we'll be covering today is SQL Server and the data platform. So several years ago, when we talked about data, the first thing that people would talk about, or the first thing that would come to their mind, was SQL Server. It's a little bit more than SQL Server. It is not just SQL Server. There's several other components that make up the data platform within Microsoft. And in addition to that, the foundation could be SQL Server, but there's several other pieces that we are enabling users to make more sense out of their data, which could be either in Office or other developer technologies as well. So you'll hear a lot of people talk about this cloud OS. What is a cloud OS? As we move more to the cloud, you know, the goal here is to ensure the three components are, you know, the customer, the service provider, and whatever cloud platform that we provide is consistent in order to transform the data center to empower people-centric IT. So that's like using Excel, you know, to do to figure out your own insights. Unlock insights in any data. So that's using tools that people are familiar with, again, you know, on our productivity platform like Office, and then enabling you to build more modern applications. So we saw some of that today with the add-ins. That's a component of enabling what these modern business applications are. And as we do this, we have this common fabric. We want a consistent development platform, consistent management platform, consistent data platform, which I'll be covering today, identity and virtualization. So SQL Server being the complete and consistent data platform, what exactly is this? We're seeing that SQL Server has matured into a product that is robust, enables mission critical performance, faster insights on any data, and another new area, as we're seeing more with the advent of the cloud, is providing this platform, which is a hybrid model where you can either have on-prem data, which is on-premises data, and your classic, you know, SQL Server running in your, you know, in your server rack in your company, or having some data too running in the cloud that's managed by either a software provider, or it could be even a company like Microsoft as well. So the key trends that we're seeing now is, you know, everyone's talking about data. There's an explosion of data. There's so many different data types. It's not just, you know, saving your pictures, saving your Excel files. There's several different types of data that you can see across the web. People are trying to save all sorts of information. And some of it is in the form of videos. Some of it is in the form of messages. We saw a lot of that, you know, like in Pui's presentation before mine about, you know, what is being stored and how people can access that. And through this data, there's cloud, you know, and through cloud, there's gonna be several monetary benefits from it too. There's a lot of money that could be realized by, you know, partners that build on top of, you know, our cloud offerings to unlock, you know, the insights in data. According to IDC, they say this year, you know, 2015, there'll be about $1.1 trillion in revenues from IT enabled by cloud innovation. So it shows that, you know, the cloud is really growing. But for that to be successful, there's companies out there that would still want to be able to do things on premises as well. So that hybrid model becomes interesting. And another really important trend that kind of sets the tone for the rest of this talk too is, you know, in memory. So in memory is now a viable solution. It's something that enables, you know, people have access to their data much quicker. And as you can see from the graph over there, the cost per megabyte has been decreasing over the years, thus enabling us to implement in memory as a viable solution. Do you have the other mic? Sorry, get the other mic because this isn't working really well. We're talking about in memory. So moving on to the evolution of the data platform. So those of you that are familiar with SQL Server, could you put your hands up, you know, if you have used SQL Server before? Okay, so there's a few of you here, so, you know, it's not like this is entirely new. And how many are using, you know, SQL Server 2014? Okay, so there's people using SQL Server 2014. How many people remember SQL Server 2000? Okay, so everyone does remember SQL Server, you know, and as you can see, over the years, the surface area for interoperability has grown. So any user out there can implement some sort of a solution on SQL Server that would benefit them in the long run and take advantage of the features that we've added to the system over the years. You can see the XML and KPIs in 2002. Seeing what we can provide in 2014 with in-memory access, workloads, performance and scale, hybrid cloud-optimized computing, and HD Insight for Hadoop and you know, big data, and of course Cloud BI as well, which I'll be covering in the next set of slides. So mission-critical performance. It's the one of the SQL Server's mission is to deliver critical performance, provide security, scalability, interoperability, and high availability to customers as well. And as you can see from the mission critical performance, we really leverage the in-memory solution that's built in for faster applications. And also, SQL Server has been ranked as one of the most secure database offerings over the years. And something that was implemented recently was high availability as well to provide the high nines. And this is through a solution that we enabled through a solution that's really close to the database itself. And I'll explain a little bit more in a bit. So faster performance that enables real-time updates. So I'll go over a scenario here where there was a retailer out there that wanted to take advantage of the mission-critical performance. So customers would go online, you know, there was a catalog behind the scenes with all the products that they had in, you know, available for customers to purchase. But one of the challenges there was the catalog was really huge with several different products. And what happens, the customer would go in and try to purchase, say, for example, a computer. The inventory, you know, what would, the inventory online would show it's available, but the backend actually wasn't really in sync with what was being presented on the UI. So it led to a lot of frustrated customers because there was this daily asynchronous sync between the server and this, the catalog. But what was done is was implemented with in-memory technologies. And through in-memory, what it did is it offered almost near-time, real-time sync capabilities for the customers. So they didn't really see any difference between, you know, what was in the product catalog and what was on the server. So it led to greater customer satisfaction overall. And this was enabled through the in-memory BI technology that we have. So just to cover how in-memory is built, is it all depends on, you know, where the business logic is. So for you to see increased performance, a lot of it has to be close to the database itself, because our solution is, you know, the way we implement in memory and faster accesses, everything is closer to the database. So if your business logic, like your stored procedures and everything, is within the database, of course, then you'll see greater performance. But if the logic is elsewhere, there'll be challenges, and you may not see some of these performance enhancements. And it's across all workloads. It's not just for transaction processing. You know, it's for data warehousing and business intelligence as well. So an example here too is there was this game application developer where they won SQL Server 2008, and at that time SQL Server 2008 didn't have this in-memory technology. So they noticed they would get hit with a lot of requests, and over 15,000 server requests, and this would bog down the machine because constantly kept going to the server and trying to do the reads on the various sectors to try and get the data. But with the FASTA in-memory and with the logic directly on the database and all the stored procedures and all the core business logic running within the database, they saw almost, you know, 10, 20% increase where they could be close to 250,000 requests and the server would still be responsive. So this shows that it's a very good solution for very intense type of applications that require requests between the server and the application often. Security, it is a secure solution that we have, taking advantage of things like transparent data encryption, which was implemented, enhanced duty of separation. So this is, you know, your system administrator role, your database administrator role, and even some granular roles where you can define who has access to certain portions of data by separating out tasks for those particular administrators. It is a scalable solution, and it takes advantage of a lot of what Windows Server has to offer, and a lot of the enhancements that came out in Windows Server 2012 and beyond. It takes advantage of the virtual environment, up to 640 logical processors. It also allows you to scale with virtualization as well, and networking capabilities. So it allows you to assign bandwidth across various different servers based on bandwidth needs using the NIC teaming feature in Windows Server as well. High availability. This is becoming very important as customers want to be able to provide, you know, multiple nines, 99.999% availability, where, you know, their servers are never down. You know, especially think of a customer that is implementing a solution where they have an online retail outlet, and during a busy season, like say the holidays, Christmas holidays, and people are purchasing products for family members, they can't be in a situation where the server is down. That results in lost revenue. So with high availability, it allows, you know, the developer to fail over to multiple different servers. It provides abilities to provide additional secondaries for things like business intelligence reporting. So you can separate your most frequently used data from least frequently used data, and do various types of synchronous data movement, whether it's synchronous if it's something that's not used a whole lot, to synchronous if something that's used in much more frequent fashion. So moving on to faster insights, this is basically taking advantage of the powerful transaction processing system, data management system that we have available, and then layering on top of that the tools that customers are very used to, things that they are familiar with, like Excel. So if you want to be able to make sense out of your data, you use an add-in like Power Pivot, you can use Power BI, and all that can connect to SQL and enable customers, enable someone in, you know, a finance department that isn't a developer to come up with their own report and connect to SQL Server real time. So this provides a complete business intelligence platform on top of SQL Server. So here is an example that shows how the healthcare industry used SQL servers both on-prem and cloud, so basically hybrid solution to enable them to solve a pretty challenging problem where they were able to identify outbreaks in a pretty quick manner. So what they did was they built an application where doctors would write symptoms, and then what it would do is it would pull all of that up into the cloud to the Hadoop file management system, run it through a natural language processor, some machine language solution, where it would do some handwriting recognition, and then based on what the doctor had written down, it would push that information into National Data Mart. So compare it against a lot of cases that either had previously been entered into that system or historical data that that the doctors would have compiled over the years. And then based on that, it would then push the information back to the doctor, back to the healthcare provider, saying, well, we think this is the trend we're seeing. We think that this illness will become either an epidemic or something like that. So using both traditional methods of how to capture data, using the computing power that we have today and using some of the innovative solutions that we have both on-premise and the cloud, able to come up with a solution that customers, in this case being the healthcare industry, were able to solve a challenging problem. So easy access to data. In the past, someone with some really good programming background or a developer was pretty much the only one that would mess around with a data management system like SQL Server. Well, now we're trying to put that into the hands of pretty much anybody, through the productivity software that we have, which is Office on-prem and also Office 365. Users can search, access, and shape their own data using Data Explorer, using Azure Marketplace, HD Insight, PDW, and several other offerings that we do have. So some of this was covered earlier about the powerful insights that users can get from the Office suite. So instead of spending too much time on this, if you have any questions about, the modeling or, how, the various, if you think about it, Power Pivot, was one of the very first SQL Server add-ins that did ship with Office, in this case, Excel. So how all those work, the kind of semantic model it uses, if you have any of those questions, we can certainly discuss. The various data sources, so SQL Server can access data from multiple sources now. Excel, Access, Active Directory, as Pui showed with the Graph API, OData, you'll be hearing about that from the OData team. Oracle, so it's not just Microsoft, it's other providers as well too. PostgreSQL, Facebook, MySQL, open source as well. So there's various ways of ingesting that into SQL Server. So Power BI for Office 365. So this, think about it, is we saw a little bit of data visualization that Donnie did show, which was an add-in. Slightly more powerful, actually not slightly, very much more powerful, feature-rich data visualization technology that we have built upon SQL Server, analysis services, reporting services, that basically, a user with an Office background could basically do some sort of analysis, discovery, and visualization of data, and then take it one step further and share that data, whether on a desktop or mobile device, and then also ask questions of their data too. Like, they could ask questions like, well, I'm in this organization, how many people in this organization have the same title as me? How many people in this organization, are members of the same group? Kind of extending that model that was presented earlier about graph. In the interest of time, I will skip that slide and move on to the platform for hybrid. This becomes more and more and more important for those companies, organizations, governments that still want to retain some control of their data, want to be able to have some of that data on premise so that they know exactly how it's being used. Because there's some people out there that are still skeptical about the cloud data and who has access to it. I mean, even with the advances in the way the data is stored, single tenant, multi-tenant, there's still some skeptics out there. So this becomes a very exciting solution for these customers. It enables customers to keep some of their data on-prem and use disaster recovery to fail over to servers in the cloud to store their data. And then also it's for enables, we have some tools that make it easy for DBAs who aren't familiar with the cloud to be able to migrate their data from on-prem to the cloud. And it provides this complete and consistent platform. And by that, what I mean is the way you use SQL Server on-prem today once you install it will be very similar or pretty close to what you'd see in the cloud as well. The same tools, the same capabilities is what you'd be seeing on Azure SQL Database. So the database as a service, this is another example that basically shows how you load balance between two servers. So this is a web application for ticket sales. So as you imagine, there's a customer out there, there's some peak demand for tickets, like it could be right before a soccer game or right before a football game or something, with a very popular team, that people would want access to tickets, or before a very popular performer, had a concert, or if there was a movie that was opening up. So how do you handle this peak demand? If there's normal demand, what you would do is have a lot of it just go through your normal on-prem servers, basically the servers that you have in-house. But if for some reason the application was smart enough to detect that there was much greater load than that normally used to, what they could do is then fail over to the SQL database to scale up, scale down based on their needs. And the advantage to this is you don't have to worry about maintaining those servers. That's basically a database as a service, and you use the database as much as you want to, as little as you want to, and you're charged basically based on your usage, rather than having it in-house and putting more servers for when you have that peak demand. So the hybrid cloud solution here is, this is basically enabling people to run backups directly to Microsoft Azure. So you have your on-prem servers. You could have a primary replica in-house, but through the domain controller, you could do an asynchronous commit directly to Microsoft Azure, where you could back up your data, maybe some of your non-essential data, data that you don't use frequently, or your more expensive data, like data for the reports, BI data. You could push that over there and do your queries against the data in the cloud. And also it enables faster disaster recovery. So think of a situation where you lose a bunch of your tables or your stored procedures or anything in your database. If you had all of that in-house and it wasn't failed over to somewhere in the cloud where it was saved, think of how expensive and challenging it would be to restore that database server. But with the ability to push some of that to the cloud, it really enables you to get back up and running as quick as possible. And it also allows you to distribute data across various geographic locations as well. So a lot of people would ask, is it easy to migrate to the cloud? I'm skeptical, I'm not sure. There are some tools that enable you to migrate your SQL Server from what you would have on-premise to the cloud. It also allows you to run SQL Server directly as a VM, so a virtual machine in the cloud as well. And for those of you that aren't interested in patching your own VMs and doing all of the maintenance and management associated that comes along with virtual machines, what you could do then is just adopt SQL Server as your database, and no patching. It has a high availability built into it, so you get those 99.99, all the time. So your data is always available, and it's really beneficial to applications that you might build that have variable demand. So if the demand is low today but could triple, the next day, you would not want to be in a situation where, you have to manually, put servers down, put them down, all that kind of thing. It becomes really challenging. So having a cloud provider do that for you is very attractive, and SQL does provide that capability. So as you can see, this is truly a complete and consistent data platform. At the core, you have Windows Server. So you have your Windows Server as your infrastructure to provide the scalability, the virtualization, security, identity, all those things that you're used to managing a server. Then you have your data management processing capabilities, relational data, non-relational data, analytical, streaming, internal, external. All that could be captured in SQL Server. And on top of that, you have an additional layer now for, for the, productivity customer, the person in finance, the person in, trying to build a KPI, scorecard that's very well versed with Excel, but wants that power of, a mission critical platform, then they can connect to SQL using Excel, Power Pivot, and all those other Office solutions that we have today. So we already went over that. So I will quickly go over, if I still have some time, the core platform protocol. So this is a little bit more for those people that, are interested in building on top of SQL Server, extending the protocols in SQL Server. So the core platform protocols are across the database engine. So that's the heart of SQL Server. A lot of the transaction processing happens, a lot of the management, a lot of the guts of SQL Server is in the engine, and security and all those kinds of things. There are some core platform protocols that we use there. Analysis services, reporting services, master data services, and then complex event processing. So the functional architecture here, which I will quickly go over, I just built the animation here. Okay, sorry, going back. So SQL Server, you have the database engine, the main protocol that's used to communicate through the client libraries back to the engine is TDS, tabular data stream. If you are familiar with it. That's fully documented, available on MSDN, and shows basically how you could implement that. And we offer a set of various client access libraries, so you don't have to implement TDS. You know, TDS is implemented through these client access libraries like ADO, SNAC, JDBC, the Java people, MDAC, SOAP. We have all these libraries if you want to be able to connect to Engine, build your web service application or whatever. But if you feel so inclined to build, you know, to connect directly to the database engine with your own version of TDS, feel free. TDS documentation is available, and you can use that to build your solution. Then the other areas like reporting services. We have, you know, various reporting service clients. And think of a reporting service client today like Power BI. For it to talk to Engine, I mean, there's various reporting services, collection of reporting services protocols that connect to the reporting services server, which then talks back to database Engine via client access libraries using TDS. And then for those that want to build analysis services client applications, so think of these as, you know, data mining add-ins or, you know, anything that has to do with some sort of heavy analysis of data, and you want to build that own client and say you don't want to leverage Power BI or Power Pivot, there's a collection of, you know, AS protocols, XMLA-based SOAP protocols that we have fully documented as well, that you use to connect to, you know, communicate to the analysis services server. And then it then communicates directly back to Engine, you know, through client libraries using TDS. So as you can see here, the, you know, the theme is, you know, this collection of protocols that we have, there's applications, you know, that you can build. I would recommend using the client libraries that we have available, because we do invest in those libraries. There's teams building those libraries, they're maintained, and we actually use them ourselves internally. But for those that want to be able to do their own implementation, it's fully documented for you and allows you to use those through the protocol docs on the MSDN protocol site. And data portability. So think of this data portability as you have data in SQL Server. You want to extract that data out of SQL Server, put that into some other database. It could be, you know, a database that, you know, IBM or DB2 or something else. It's your data, so you need to be able to extract that data. And we do provide mechanisms that allow the user to extract data from SQL, either using, you know, utilities like, you know, BCP or custom solutions like, you know, what we have documented in our documents that start with MS-DP. So, you know, either say you have data in analysis services and you want to take data out of that, put that into AWS or something, there's some documentation that will allow you to do that. So here it shows, you know, you have your database, you want to export it. If it usually results in a file, there's also some file format documentation. The documentation is available in MSDN and fully documents all the different structures. And then if you want that imported into your other, you know, new database, you can do that yourself because you would have extracted, made sense of that data, and it'll just be, you know, data that you import into some other system. So that was it. If there's any questions about SQL, be happy to help. I know the kind of the transition from, you know, APIs to Office to SQL, and then now to OData. It's kind of been all over the place, but I am happy to discuss in depth with anybody that has questions about anything that has to do with SQL Server. I'll be happy to talk to you today, tomorrow as well. I'm here to chat with you. I know the focus on this event has been a little bit on the Office APIs and stuff, but happy to chat if there's any questions.
All right, thank you, KB. So I think up next we have